Morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
May it please the court. The petitioner in this case, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, is a large electric utility located in northern and central California. For the past 100 years, PG&E's engineers have designed every aspect of the massive electric transmission system that serves the customers of our company. And for the past decade, the operation of that system has been turned over to the California Independent System Operator, a separate nonprofit company. It operates the systems of PG&E as well as the two other large commission-regulated utilities in California. At the time the commission approved the construction or the structure of the ISO in 1997, it specifically ruled that the utilities, Pacific Gas and Electric and the others, should retain exclusive responsibility for studies of their systems in connection with expansions or changes to the system. And that's the way it's worked for the past decade without any controversy. In the orders on review in this case, the commission upset this settled arrangement and sua sponte, without any party having asked for this, required that the responsibility for studying the system at the request of power generators seeking to hook power plants to the system had to be transferred from Pacific Gas and Electric and the other two utilities to the California ISO. PG&E is here today challenging the commission's order under two statutes. First, the Federal Power Act itself, the statute that empowers the commission to regulate our company. Section 206 of that statute creates what we call the filed rate doctrine, the Mobile Sierra doctrine, which requires that once a tariff has been approved by the commission, nobody, not even the commission, can change that approved tariff arrangement unless it complies with the requirements of Section 206, which are twofold. First, the commission must find that the existing approved arrangement has become unjust and unreasonable, and there must be substantial evidence for that finding.
Or discriminatory.
Or discriminatory, yes, or otherwise unlawful. Or otherwise unlawful. And there must be evidence to support that finding.
Before we get to that,
yes, Your Honor.
We have a jurisdictional question. So FERC says that you're late, and therefore we have no jurisdiction, that the order that is required that this be done by the ISO was the 2003 order.
Yes,
and
sir.
Not the compliance order. And in the 2003B order, it says, in such instance, the transmission owner must agree to transfer to the RTO or ISO control over the significant aspects of the interconnection process under the transmission owner's interconnection process, including the performance of all interconnection studies and cost determinations applicable to network upgrades. So there was no appeal from that. And why isn't it then, as the commission says, a collateral attack?
Your Honor, I think it's important to emphasize that the order you're referring to is a rehearing order of a rehearing order in the rulemaking docket. It was issued after our compliance filings were submitted in this case.
But before the determination in this case.
Yes, but we didn't view, Your Honor, in our reading of Order 2003, the entire series, including this B, the Order 2003, we did not read that to require that in the case of a region like California, which had a pre-existing approved arrangements for a decentralized study process, that the commission intended through the rulemaking order to change that arrangement.
But why, if you can focus on that language, which says must agree to transfer to the RTO or ISO control, that certainly understands that in the past it might have been with a utility, but that now the responsibility is going to be transferred.
But, Your Honor, in the original rulemaking order, Order 2003, which is the final rule itself, the commission said that the transmission provider should conduct studies. That's in the
right.
appendix, the,
right.
the so-called procedures, the large generator interconnection procedures. And the definition in the Federal Register, this is Federal Register page 49, 936, the commission said that the definition of the term transmission provider, and I'll quote here, should be read to include the transmission owner.
Right, but that confusion was resolved in 2003B.
We don't view it that way, Your Honor.
Well, it says very clearly that studies shall be conducted by the ISO. In fact, in your brief at page 16, you say that Order 2003 clearly requires the transmitter, the providers, to conduct the studies, and then you ask for a variance. So if this didn't require the ISO to do it, why did you think you needed a variance?
Your Honor, we needed a variant. We wanted a variation, but not a deviation. The final rule said, yes?
Say that again.
We wanted a variation, but not a deviation from the final rule, because the final rule said the term transmission provider, when we use this term in our rule, we mean in the case of a situation where the transmission provider and the transmission owner are separate entities, we, the commission, use the term transmission provider interchangeably to refer to both.
But they didn't in B. They talk about the role of the owner and the provider separately, and a footnote says quite clearly the ISO will do all the studies.
Your Honor, our view is simply that that came too late. It's a rehearing of a rehearing order. It was after we had already submitted our compliance filings.
Why is that? What rule says that that's too late? What are you relying on, some statute or something?
Your Honor, it's merely it's an observation by the commission at best. It is not a holding that put us under some compunction to agree to this change. It's an observation in the course of a rehearing order that was issued long after we had already submitted our compliance filings under the original order 2003 and 2003A. At best, it's a belated expression of a policy preference. The commission certainly can develop policy preferences as it goes
along.
Where
does it say preference? I if it said we prefer this, then I would understand that, but it doesn't say that.
But
it says the paragraph begins that they are clarifying what happens when a transmission owner that belongs to an RTO or ISO is involved. Where does it say that it says, in such instance, the transmission owner must agree. That doesn't sound like a preference.
But, Your Honor, we were relying on the rule itself. The final rule itself said transmission provider can be either the transmission owner or the transmission provider in the case where they are separate. And in good faith reliance on that, we assumed that the settled arrangements in California would remain in place. And there is no finding, Your Honor, in the Order 2003 series that these existing arrangements are unjust and unreasonable. That's the essence of our case. The Commission can't simply, based on even an evolving policy preference, cannot change the filed rate. It has to first make that finding
We held in TAPS that they could do it generically. They could find that there's an inherent conflict of interest in having generator or the utility decide who gets to hook up. And in this case, it's exactly the same kind. There has to be a study beforehand. And basically they're saying there's an inherent conflict of interest. That's our generic finding. And that's what they're saying. That's what we found in 2003.
They're saying it, but it's embellishing something, Your Honor, that wasn't there in the original order 2003.
Why didn't you challenge 2003B? I guess that's the bottom line question.
Because, Your Honor, in good faith, we didn't think that they meant California. There was no reason for us to understand that in the case of California, where these arrangements, mind you, the arrangements that we have in California were approved under Order 888, the open access order that this court affirmed in TAPS, was the order you're referring to, Your Honor, that made this generic finding of discrimination. Our discrimination in California was cured by the 1997 order, which set up the ISO and left the three transmission owners in charge of the studies. That was compliance with the open access mandate. In Order 2003, the Commission did not make any new findings of discrimination. It simply reached back to the original Order 888 series and said, on the basis of those findings, we're going to require standardization of procedures and timelines and so forth for interconnection. We had no dispute with that finding by the Commission. We went forward in good faith and complied with Order 2003. But the Commission then surprised us, frankly, in these orders on review in saying that, oh, now we want to change the settled arrangement in California. The essence of the Commission's position before this court is, we can do that because of this generic finding of discrimination that we made, not so much in Order 2003, because there is no standalone finding, rather in the original Order 888. And we say that's impermissible bootstrapping. You cannot get there from here. The 1997 order found that this arrangement in California is compliant with the open access mandate in Order 888. And the Order 2003 didn't add anything new.
If the Order 2003 had a generic finding, would that be sufficient? If they had said, well, with respect to the variance that we provided after 888, we now have enough time, there's now enough time for the ISO to have developed, its own expertise, and as a general matter, we want all, this is a problem we find across the board, that there has to be, that there's an inherent conflict of interest, and we want everybody separate. Do they have to make individual findings, or is it generic findings?
No, I think in that hypothetical, we would lose, unless we successfully challenged Order 2003 itself. Mm-hmm. We might have come in at that point and said, wait, Commission, you don't have a basis for that. Things are working well in California. You don't have facts to support that finding. But if that finding were affirmed by the court and the Commission made the generic finding and then the generic remedy were imposed of centralizing the study function, then we would not be here today. The reason we're here today is that the Commission in the Order 2003 series did not, until you get to Order 2003B, which we submit is just too late in the case of a rulemaking, to put us on notice, we did not have notice from the Commission. We were led to believe that the existing arrangements were to be left unchanged, other than to standardize timeframes and things of that nature. We did not expect that the Commission intended in the Order 2003 series to require that the study function be taken from the utility and centralized at the ISO.
And in the letter that was sent, it's JA-128 and JA-130. At JA-128, it says, the ISO has identified a number of modifications to the Commission's proposed form of interconnection service and related modifications to the Commission's proposed form of interconnection funding provisions that need to be modified to adapt them to the ISO circumstances. And then one of those changes at 130 is the interconnection studies.
That's right.
Is that not, as Judge Tatel is asking, is that not an acknowledgement that you understood you needed a variance from the general vote?
We needed a variance, but we did, again, it wasn't a deviation, it was merely a variance. And what the Commission said in Order 2003A about this whole subject was that the independent entity variation gives RTOs and ISOs broad discretion in the final design of their large generator interconnection procedures, and we encourage such RTO or ISO to spell out such rights and responsibilities in its compliance filing.
But were you saying that you needed a variance from what had been previously announced? So that you did you understand that the general rule was going to be that the ISO conducts these? But maybe in your situation you thought that you had a reason in yours.
Yes.
Did you understand that in general ISOs did have to?
Yes, Your Honor, because most of the ISOs in the country consist of smaller utilities. These California utilities are very, very large. Their footprint, each individual utility's footprint, is actually much bigger than some of the entire ISOs that exist in other regions. Like the Mid-Atlantic region here, the individual utilities that make up the PJM interconnection are small utilities,
so we have a different fact situation
in California.
You're not saying that there is something in the language of the 2003 series that didn't put you on notice that generically ISOs would have to conduct the studies. Rather, you're saying that implied within that was an exception for California?
Yes, Your Honor, because the order said when we use the term transmission provider, as we did in the appendix that says the transmission provider will conduct the studies, when we use that term and the entities are separate, we use the term interchangeably. The Commission told us that. They led us to that expectation.
But that would be true for all ISOs.
That would be true for all ISOs.
So it's not an exception for California.
Well, Your Honor, most of the ISOs, as I understand it, already conducted the studies before this rulemaking. California was the exception coming into this. And so for most ISOs, that would be just merely confirming the way things are done. In the case of California, that would be a change from the way things had been done under Order 888 for the prior 10 years. And so we assumed naturally that we were entitled to the variation. We didn't think that we had to challenge Order 2003 because we felt that it gave us the opportunity for that variation in the very language of the order. We were not on notice that we had to challenge Order 2003 in order to preserve the existing arrangements where we did the studies. The Commission is essentially just revisiting the policy decision that it made in 1997, and that's what the filed rate doctrine prohibits. You can't simply rethink your policy rationale 10 years later, not on the basis of any new evidence, but just on the basis of an evolving policy, and then require that the tariff be amended.
Well, as a, that is what we allowed in TAPS.
But, Your Honor, in TAPS...
Well, we allowed them on the basis of policy to revisit formerly filed rates.
Yes, but not just, Your Honor, not just a policy decision. There was a finding.
Generic finding across
the country based on real evidence
but
of
no
discrimination.
Finding it, but you didn't have to find in any particular state that there was a problem.
Yeah, that's right. That case and the earlier case, United Distribution Companies on the gas side established
that. And you didn't have
that.
To find it only with respect to rates. You filed it with respect to all terms and conditions.
That's right, but it doesn't repeal the statute. And it doesn't mean that forever and ever the Commission can simply make changes to utility tariffs every time it changes a policy.
No, but this is the kind of change that we've already upheld, that is the separation of the unbundling of responsibilities.
Yes.
So that kind of change they've already made a generic finding for.
But what's critically important, Your Honor, if I can leave you just with this thought, is that in the 1997 order establishing the ISO, the Commission found and created tariffs to embody this principle that in California, the ISO would operate the systems, but the utilities would retain the study responsibility, and that was the law of the land. That is the filed rate doctrine as we come into this case. It's in compliance with the Order 888 series that made the generic findings you're describing. So the Commission today has no basis, legal or factual, to go back and rethink that decision that it made in 1997. It cannot do it because Order 2003 did not find any new and did not include any new findings of discrimination. It simply relied on the original findings in Order 888.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. Lona Perry for the Commission. Order 2003 is the basis on which the jurisdictional tariffs of all the utilities subject to FERC jurisdiction were modified to require the incorporation of standardized interconnection procedures. 2003 was affirmed by this court, cert was denied by the Supreme Court, and there's no revisiting the determination that...
But there's nothing in 2003 that's as clear as 2003B, right, regarding this issue. You concede that, won't you?
Not at all, Your Honor. If you look at, from the very beginning, even as Petitioner points out in their brief at page 57, even at the advance notice of proposed rulemaking and forward, it has always been the case that it has provided specifically that transmission providers will conduct studies. And they are now raising the definition of transmission provider in the final rule as a basis on which there was confusion.
Well, there was, based on just the 2003.
But
it didn't get clarified until B.
Well, Your Honor, I'd like to point out, first of all, that they have never claimed, either before the Commission or in their briefs before this Court, that there was confusion based on that definition. And I would point out
you're saying that the definition of provider, they've never before claimed, made the argument that being made at oral argument?
Absolutely, Your Honor. You can look at the briefs in this case, and you can look at all the filings that were made before the Commission. The definition was never raised. And I'll tell you why, and that's because there was never any confusion in their mind about the fact that the ISO was, in fact, the transmission provider. From the very beginning, if you look at their 2003 compliance filings at Joint Appendix 30 and at 54, if you look at their 2003A compliance filings at Joint Appendix 95, 98, 109 and 123, you will see that they identify the ISO as a transmission provider. And in those filings, they specifically asked for a variance from the requirement that the transmission provider conduct studies. There was no confusion in their mind about what was required under the standardized procedures. What they wanted was a variation. And the Commission considered the request for a variation in the orders under review here. Which, by the way, the first order on review here considered compliance filings all the way through 2003B. So had there been any confusion about the definition of transmission provider, it was clear by the time of the filings the Commission was considering in this case.
Wait, say that again.
The first the first order under review here is the July 1st, 2005 order.
Yes.
And as of February 18th, 2005, PG&E and the rest of the California parties had made their compliance filing under 2003B. Mm-hmm. So the very first order under review in this case considered compliance with 2003A and B.
What relevance does their argument have that they had already filed compliance filings with respect to the earlier 2003 orders before 2003B came out?
There's no relevance to it, Your Honor, because the filings are all the same in the sense that they identify the ISO as a transmission provider, they request a variance from the standard interconnection procedures based on the fact that they would require the transmission provider to do studies, which they said was not appropriate in California. And by the time the commission considered any of the filings on the merits, they had already filed in compliance with 2003B, and so they were clearly on notice by that point that the ISO was the one required to do the studies, and they...
What was in the earlier compliance filings that's different than what was in the compliance filing that followed 2003B?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying, Your Honor,
exactly
is that
same.
They knew all along that the ISO was the one that was required to do the studies.
Why were there so many compliance filings, I guess I'm asking? What's in each compliance file? What are they complying with after 2003B that's different than what they were complying with before?
In 2003A and 2003B, there were changes made to the procedures and to the standard interconnection agreement. I mean, these are lengthy, complicated documents, so they weren't items. These provisions did not change. The provision that the transmission provider will do the studies did not change. And so in this respect, their compliance filings did not change. There were other provisions that changed as you went along, and you had to make new compliance filings with respect to each rule to assure that your filing complied with the changes that had been made in that rule. But this, the transmission provider conducts studies, was constant throughout. It never changed. So in this respect, their compliance filings never changed.
Beyond your argument that this is a collateral attack, if I wanted to find, as I understand it, the commission's position is it's the 2003 series of orders had made the necessary undue discrimination findings, right?
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay, so where are they? What in particular, what are the generic or any other kind of findings in there or anywhere else they rely on? What specifically are they?
The findings that were relied on, they're actually in your joint appendix, some of the references to it.
Tell me what they are.
It begins with the references to 2003, paragraph 19 and 20, which is at Joint Appendix 27. And it begins with the concept from 888 that utilities that own generation had incentives to and had engaged in undue discrimination. Right. And in paragraph 20, they go on to find that interconnection is an element of that transmission service under the open access tariff. But then if you look at 2003, paragraphs 11 and 12, which is at your joint appendix at page 25, you will see there that they made further specific findings that had to do with interconnection, with the problems with the interconnection process that caused them to issue this rule. In particular, they were pointing out the fact that the interconnection requests as they operated now tended to result in long, complex technical disputes. The delay undermined the ability of generators to enter the market and to compete. Standardization would minimize the discrimination opportunities, minimize the opportunities for delay, and would expedite development while protecting reliability and ensuring just and reasonable rates. So it wasn't just reliance on the 888 findings at all. It was also findings made with respect to the particularities of the interconnection process as it was operating and how it was disadvantaging generators as compared to generation owned by utilities that had transmission. If there are no further questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did council have any time left?
Council did not have any time left.
You can take 2 minutes if you like.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I do want to get back to the question of what did the commission do in Order 2003 with respect to findings of undue discrimination. And it's all contained in three paragraphs in that order, paragraphs 18, 19, and 20. And all the commission did there was say that in reliance on the findings that we made in the Order 888 series about undue discrimination, we hereby adopt some additional remedies, the remedy being to standardize the interconnection process. And our company had no issue with the standardized rules. We worked through them. We complied with them. But there was nothing in that order that contained the kind of finding that would be necessary to overturn our approved tariff that was approved in 1997 that put us in charge of those studies under the ISO structure. The order is weak and it's deficient in that respect, and it does not fall, therefore, under this commission, under this court's decision in TAPS, which allows for generic findings of discrimination to justify imposing tariff changes on a utility, is because it doesn't have an independent finding.
Can I ask about just about that point? So the order that gave you the after 888 that approved your compliance filing
in 1997.
Yeah, it doesn't say. Maybe I'm reading it too fast. Maybe you can tell me where I'm missing it. But in that order, it doesn't say that there isn't a risk of discrimination or anything like that. It just says that you're well situated. I don't know if it's you, it's the participating transmission
yes.
owners. Yeah,
yes.
are well situated. They have the working knowledge of the systems. They've performed studies before, and so they should be obligated to perform the studies. But it doesn't, that doesn't sound like any finding that there's no risk of discrimination, only that you have the ability to do the studies.
Well, Your Honor, I think you have to read more of the order, because earlier in the you're reading from the part where the commission renders its decision.
That's right. The commission
responds. Prior to that, on the page 61488, it describes the City of Reading's proposal. The City of Reading was there at the commission
right.
at that time and said essentially what the Modesto Irrigation District is saying here, which is you cannot trust these big utilities to do these studies in a not unduly discriminatory manner.
Right.
And the commission, although its discussion is cursory, it rejects that. It says, no, in California, it makes sense.
Well, it doesn't say, that's what I was wondering. It doesn't say no. It just says that they're rejecting the proposal because you're well situated to perform the studies. Is there any language that says there is no risk of discrimination or the risks that we're concerned about don't exist in California?
I think it's there, Your Honor, because they said we do not agree with Redding's suggestion. I think it's cursory, but it's there.
But it says we do not agree with Redding's suggestion to use outside organizations to perform this work.
Yes, meaning it should be under the control of the ISO. That's
right,
what Redding
right.
is.
But is there a reference somewhere in here to finding no risk of discrimination in California?
I don't see that, Your Honor. I think it's fairly implied from it, though. And at that point, if the City of Reading had an issue or concern with that, it was their duty to come to the court and appeal that order, and that didn't occur. It became the filed rate doctrine. However you want to read the rationale, however strong or weak it might be, it is the law now. In California, the utilities do the studies, not the ISO. And then the commission in Order 2003 didn't do anything sufficient to impose that change.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case is submitted.
Stand, please. This is all.